You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
So today, it is commonly referred to in Christianity as Palm Sunday. This is the week where we celebrate that Jesus came into Jerusalem with the palm branches and leads us into the week where he gave his life for us at Calvary and then the resurrection, which we will be celebrating next week from our service. And today I'd like specifically look at the blood of the Lamb. This is the blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary for us. And we want to get some understanding from Scripture about what this means. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, it says, "Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. And look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In John chapter 1, as after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, you pick it up here in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "And again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" What did John mean by that? What's the understanding for us to understand what it means that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that Jesus was the Passover Lamb? To get understanding of this, we need to go back to the book of Exodus and look at the original Passover, and then we'll come back to understanding about Jesus. But first, let's take a moment to go back in time to the original Passover. This was in Egypt while the children of Israel were in captivity. Moses had come and there were a series of 10 plagues, and the 10th plague was about to come upon the land of Egypt. And we pick it up here in Exodus chapter 11 and in verse 4. It says, "And Moses said, 'Thus says the Lord, thus says Yahweh, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of cattle as well. Moreover, there will be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been before, and such as shall never be again." In chapter 12 is actually the time when this occurred. This is what happened in Egypt to the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. "Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead." You know, as we are in this time in our history with this pandemic that's gone around the world, I really, in looking at this, have identified with what happened here in the Passover greater than I ever have. It just has really spoke to my heart in understanding the significance of what happened here in history in Egypt. What was this plague? What happened? I want to show you a couple verses because suddenly I have this interest in how diseases are spread and what they do, and germs. I don't know, it's all around me. So I said, well, what does the Bible actually say about what happened here? So these are just some verses, and you know, I don't know exactly, but here's some things that it says in Scripture about what happened in the land of Egypt when all the firstborn died. He said they will strike down all the firstborn in the land in Exodus 12, 12. In Exodus 12, 13, it's called a plague. No plague shall befall you to destroy you. In verse 23, it says, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer, here it's called the destroyer, to come into your houses to smite you. In Psalm 78, talking about this time, it says that this occurred through a band of destroying angels. I have no idea what that means. And then it says it's a plague again, but he gave over their life to the plague. And in Hebrews 11, 28, it says, he who destroyed the firstborn. This is what we have from Scripture about what this was. With our current situation in our country, this pandemic apparently is caused as people, it comes through the air, as people have it, they breathe, they sneeze, it comes through the air and is passed from one to another. That's how the germ is spread. Whatever this was in Egypt, it's called a plague that killed people. Apparently this was spread through destroying angels. What is that? I have no idea. I don't know what that is or how that looks. But I don't think social distancing could have helped the people of Egypt. I don't think the CDC could have figured out in enough time, because this happened in one night, how to deal with it, how to find a cure. To give you guidelines of what to do. So it's a little different than what we have, but there are some similarities. Our current disease apparently seems to impact the most a certain segment of society, older people, people with immune deficiencies in their, so people can contract it, but the ones that it's deadly seem to be a certain type of people. Well, we have a similarity here. In Egypt, there was a specific people that this disease attacked. It wasn't everybody in the household. It was the firstborn. The firstborn of every house. I'd like to talk to you people who are firstborn in your household. If you were the firstborn in your home at this time in Egypt, unless you understood about the Passover lamb, there is nothing that you could have done. You would have died that night if you were the firstborn in your house. Another similarity, I believe, because I think one thing is my understanding a lot of times when I think about what happened this night, again, comes from Hollywood. I mean, to me, I still see in the movie The Ten Commandments that, you know, when this plague happens, you see the fingers of smog coming down from the clouds, and then you see this greenish-gray fog go through the streets of Egypt, and then, you know, as it touched somebody that was a firstborn, they died and they keeled over dead. There's nothing in the scripture that says anything about this green smog. I think it's much more reality of what we see today, which we call an invisible enemy that came into these homes and killed the firstborn of everybody in Egypt. So there was nothing that could be done to stop this epidemic in Egypt. With the exception of one thing, and one thing only, could save from death. We learn about this in Exodus chapter 12. Now Yahweh, the Lord, said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the first month of the year to you." Today, in the Hebrew calendar, it's the month Nisan. "Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, they are each to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household." A lamb for each household. "Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to that which each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. And this lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight." In the Hebrew, this is between the evenings. And according to Hebrew understanding, the evening of the day is when the sun hits its highest point at noon. The evening of the night is when sun sets. This time period of between the evenings is in the afternoon, would be like 3 in the afternoon, that the lamb was to be slain and killed between the evenings. And now look at, "Moreover, they will take the blood." And here's what they did with the blood of the lamb. "And put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses which they eat. They shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled it all with water, but shall be roasted with fire, both its heads and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your hands, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh." The blood of the lamb shall be a sign to you on the house where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Again, this at this time has so much more meaning to my heart and my soul, as I know so many are sequestered in their homes, separate, As I've been praying this week, I pray for those saints that I love. It's what I've pictured. I pictured Jesus and his blood over the households of the saints. This was the only answer to this plague. It was the only salvation from the certain death. You know, when we decided to do communion this Wednesday, we decided this way before all this happened, that we would do it this Wednesday. I think it could be a very significant time for each of you. When you're in your household and you're there with you, your little ones, receive that communion. As the blood of Christ is shed for you in your home, it can be an amazing time for us to acknowledge Jesus Christ. A time that perhaps we have never experienced before and maybe never experience again. Something else about this Wednesday, which we did not plan when we planned this. On the Hebrew calendar, this Wednesday is the 14th of Nisan. It is the Passover, the time of the Passover. Last year, for the first time, I joined in with some beautiful believers here in the church, Rose Ryder, and we did a Messianic Seder meal. It was very special, where you take the understanding of the Old Testament and you transfer it. You remember what happened in Egypt, but we also remember our true Messiah, Jesus, our Savior. If any of you are inclined to do that this Wednesday, to do a meal, you know, start at 5:30 or 6 and have a meal in remembrance of our Passover lamb, and then come with us at 7 and join us in communion. I think it would be just amazing, the relationship of these two events. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. We're going to get to Jesus here in a minute, but I wanted to stop in the Old Testament to look at a very special Passover that occurred in history. Here in 2 Chronicles, we're going to go to chapter 30. What had happened here in 2 Chronicles is Ahaz had been king. Ahaz was a very bad king. He had shut down the temple. He had put idolatrous worship throughout the land of Judah. The whole land had turned to idolatry. And his son Hezekiah became king. In the very first year of his reign, Hezekiah decided to cleanse the land. And he went and he cleansed the land. He opened up the temple and they re-cleansed all the Levites, all the priest lines. They cleaned house in the land. And they were so far behind keeping with what God had commanded, they couldn't do Passover in the first month. And so here, they prayed and they decided they would do the Passover in the second month. And they cleansed everything. Historically, also at this time, the northern kingdom of Israel, in probably 3 or 4 years from now, the capital city of Samaria is going to be encircled by the Assyrian army. And for 3 years, they're going to shut that city down, and then they are going to take the northern people of Israel into captivity into Assyria. And that's exactly what happened historically. At this time, there were still people in the northern kingdom, and Hezekiah sent couriers out and told the people of the north, come on down, join us for this Passover. Some of them laughed at these couriers, But it says a few people chose to come and join in. And that's where we pick up here in 2 Chronicles. Let's start in verse 13. Now many people were gathered at Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the second month, a very large assembly, they arose and removed the altars which were in Jerusalem. They also removed all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed of themselves and consecrated themselves and brought burnt offerings to the house of Yahweh. Then they stood at their stations in their custom according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood. They sprinkled the blood of the Passover lamb. They sprinkled its blood from the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the assembly who had not consecrated themselves. Therefore, the Levites were over the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was unclean in order to consecrate them to Yahweh. Verse 18, for a multitude of the people of these that came from the northern kingdom, even from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed. They couldn't do it according to the law because they had been so far away from God. But they came seeking God's mercy, His forgiveness, His redemption in the blood of the Lamb. I just love this. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord, may Yahweh pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, Yahweh, God of his fathers, even though they're not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. And I love this next verse. How did they know that God accepted them? It says, so Yahweh heard Hezekiah and healed the people. He healed them. I don't know what they were sick of. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But when they ate that Passover lamb, by God's mercy and by God's grace, they were healed through the blood of the lamb. Hallelujah. What a merciful, gracious God we have. Now let's look at the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed, we were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That phrase, unblemished and spotless, is a direct correlation to the understanding of the Passover lamb. And now it relates to Jesus, who was taken from humanity. He was a man. He was the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. And he was a perfect man who had never sinned, had never done anything wrong, who had perfect blood. And that was sacrificed for humanity, for our redemption. Real quick here, look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, prophetically looking forward to this suffering servant that would come. Isaiah 53 talks about this one that was coming and what he would do. Isaiah 53, and in verse 4, talking about this suffering servant that would come for the world. Surely, it says in Isaiah 53, 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. The chastisement of our well-being fell upon him, and by scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but Yahweh has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Our sin, our iniquity, the things that they fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people to whom the strike was due. He was grave, was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in death, because he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. But the Lord Yahweh was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He would render himself as a guilt offering. This Messiah, this one coming, was to be a guilt offering on behalf of the people. He will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of Yahweh will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his own knowledge and righteousness, my servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. This suffering servant would bear the iniquities of the people, just as a lamb for the slaughter. He would bear their iniquities. Look at Matthew chapter 27. This is all foreshadowing the Passover lamb. This prophecy of the servant of Isaiah is all a foreshadow of what would ultimately be accomplished through the sacrificial blood on the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thought I'd like to just read through the record with you of the crucifixion to let this settle in your souls and dwell on this week, and think about our Lord and Savior and think about what he did on our behalf. Matthew 27, we'll pick it up in verse 22. And Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. A cohort would have been hundreds of soldiers. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat his head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. Now, just reading here, I don't think we understand just from this simple reading the time that this took place. If you go to the Gospel of John, you will find that he was sentenced to crucifixion at noon, at the sixth hour of the day. In the Gospel of Mark, it tells us he was led out to be crucified at the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. What happened between that time when he was sentenced to be crucified and the time that he was led out is what we just read here. Where hundreds of soldiers mocked him and beat him, mocked the perfect Lamb of God. Verse 32, and as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place of Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots, and sitting down, they began to watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You are going to destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourselves. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross." In the same way, the chief priests also among the scribes and elders were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. If he trusts in God, let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. It wasn't enough that he'd been beaten the night before, beaten by leaders and religious leaders, and then he was beaten and whipped by Roman soldiers, and then for hours and hours he was mocked by them. Now for 6 hours on the cross, he continues to be mocked. Yet he hung there. He said he could have had, 12 legions of angels? He could have asked the Father at any moment to get off this. But he didn't. And about the ninth hour of the day is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It is between the evenings. It is the time of day when the Passover is slain. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man calls for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge. He filled it with sour wine and put on the reed and gave him drink. And put the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried aloud again with a loud voice. We know from the Gospel of John that this was where he said, "It is finished." And he yielded up his spirit, and we know his last words from the Gospel of Luke was, "Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. To your hands I commend my spirit." And he died between the evenings at the time the Passover lambs were slain. He died. It says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. That was probably something. Got their attention a little bit. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. At the moment Jesus Christ gave his life, it says here in Matthew that in the temple, the veil ripped in two in the temple. What is that about? In the tabernacle and later in the temple, there was the holy place where the priests would go to minister. And then there was a room called the Holy of Holies. And there was a veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And only one time a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was allowed to go beyond that veil and to offer a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement for the people. Only one time a year. And here the significance of this just is breathtaking, that at this time when Jesus died, that veil was rent. And he became the sacrifice on the altar for all mankind as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. Here in Hebrews 9, let's start in verse 11. Look what it says. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of calves and goats. That's all that they had as they did these rituals, as they carried out the Passover lamb year after year. But through his own blood, he entered that holy place once for all, one time for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more significance will the blood of Christ, the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. There is a new covenant. And Molly, when we do communion, that's what it's about. That blood was the new covenant in his blood. And through this new covenant, so that since death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Look at all those children of Israel who were firstborn, whose life was saved from the blood of the Passover lamb at that time in history in Egypt. They all died. They all eventually died. Whether you die of a virus, old age, heart disease, whether you're murdered, whether you die in war. You know, some get a disease and others don't. Why? I don't know. Some people die young, really immature. They still should have had a life to live, but they die young. And others, people die old. Why? I don't know. But everybody dies. Everybody. And just as a type, there in Egypt, the only salvation for to save the firstborn of the households was the blood of the Lamb. So too for all humanity. There is only one salvation from death. There is only one salvation for eternal life. And that's the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have never confessed Him as your Lord, you've never made Him Lord, I'd say do it now. Do it now. Make Jesus Christ your Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Confess your sins and repent. And let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you will receive this promise of the covenant, of a new covenant of life in the age to come. Eternal life. That's what we talk about when we have a message to the world of Jesus Christ. It's bigger than all the things in this world. It is the truth of eternal life that only comes through our Lord and Savior. And you know, He didn't stay dead. He got up, which is a proof as being the first fruits. We're going to look at that next week. But to close out, look at 1 Peter with me. Let's just close out this one verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed." You can get healed today of physical healing, but so much more important is that we can be healed from the sentence of death and be granted eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God. Thank You, thank You, thank You for the awesome truths that You have put into Scripture. God, and how You did not leave humanity without hope. That You did not leave a sinful world with sinful people without a way out. Just like the children of Israel were given a way out of the certain death with the Passover lamb, so too You have provided a way for any man, woman, or child in this world. If they will confess their sins and if they will repent and make Jesus Christ their Lord, they too can join in through the blood of the Lamb. On the cross, that blood was shed for us so that we could have eternal life. Hallelujah and amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org where you can access dozens of free classes, Bible teachings, and articles. Also, when you visit lhim.org, subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on upcoming events. Until next week, keep loving God and your neighbor.